The following paid program is sponsored by the friends and partners of Frankie Mazapika Ministries.
Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Frankie Mazapika. The title of the message is, That's What Happens When You Pray. That's what happens when you pray. I've got four major points, and I'm going to slip in some sub-points in there, but my four major points are this. When you pray, you receive grace and mercy. That's point number one. Point number two, when you pray, God begins to protect you at a level that people who don't pray do not experience. When you pray, you receive grace and mercy. You receive protection. That's number two. Number three is you begin to experience a sense of intimacy with the creator of the world. Now, this is new. This is new for me over the past maybe 3 years. I begin to understand that there is no end to God. Wrap your head around this. The furthest star, as far as it is, every single galaxy. I read that there's over 100 million counted galaxies. Forget the ones that we haven't counted. All of those galaxies are not outside of God. If I'm God, it's not like there's a galaxy over there like those drums. Everything that exists, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. He was before all things, and all things are held together within him. There is no end to God. And this being sits down and has intimacy, a personal relationship with you. That's point number three. Point number four is when you pray, you experience a supernatural power that moves through your life. So I'm gonna unpack all of those, and we'll start off obviously with number one. When you pray, you experience grace and mercy. Where is that coming from? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says this, come boldly. A lot of people pray and they got their head down and they're in shame. That's not what the Bible wants you to do. He wants you to come boldly before the throne of grace. And the Bible says this, so that you may receive grace and mercy during your time of need. Now, what's the difference between mercy and grace? Mercy says, as soon as you came to me, the moment you opened your mouth, the moment you put your mind's attention and your heart's affection on me, mercy began to flow from God to you. Everybody we know, when we make a mistake, we say something we shouldn't say, we worry that they are going to make us pay. You know, like stop talking to us for like 17 days. Or they're going to make us pay. God does not do that. It's not like human beings that says, you've done the same thing 24 times. How many times are you going to say, I'm sorry, before you stop? That's not how God thinks. He does not think like that. Please hear that. He does not think like that. The moment your mind's attention goes towards him, mercy begins to flow in your direction. Now, what's the difference between mercy and grace? For all of us, it says, God, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be addicted to this anymore. I don't want to talk to people like this anymore. I know it's wrong. I don't want to have these addictions and these worries and I don't want to act like a fool. I don't want to act like a person who doesn't love you because I do love you. But I can't stop. That's when grace kicks in. See, mercy says, I forgive you for what you've just done, but you do not have the power. You do not have the self-discipline. to be able to stop doing what you're addicted to doing. Sometimes we say things before we thought it. We did it before we thought it. Like when I wake up in the middle of the night to go make sure there's food in the house. I honestly walk to the cupboard with my eyes half closed. And I'm eating and I'm not even thinking about how much I'm eating. It's just going. My body is doing it. And back here, I have this one thought, should you be eating all this right now? And it just, yes, I should. And I wake up the next morning, I'm like, Frankie, you keep telling yourself that you're not going to eat at 2:30 in the morning. Stop eating at 2:30 in the morning. I'm going to tell you, that is a battle that's too big for me. There are certain battles that are just too big. Now, naturally, I'm being comical, and I'm only sharing a battle that is at a certain level of transparency. I'm not being too transparent. That's too much. We don't know each other like that. But let me tell you this. My wife said, Frankie, I know God loves you, but I feel like he forgives you a lot. And I'm like, only my wife would know me so well to be able to say that. Only grace can help us have the strength to stop. I don't talk about this a lot, but many of you guys know this. Our service is broadcast on TBN from Florida to Seattle, from coast to coast. We got a letter the other day from an inmate in a prison on the West Coast. And he said this, I was watching the program, and all of a sudden I felt my life change. I could feel God touching me, and I knew my life had changed right there at that moment. He says, I am doing more for God in prison than I ever did outside of prison. He didn't even think about God. Now he's touching people, and lives are changing left and right. He's got a Bible study inside of the prison. And you say to yourself, how can a guy be in prison for so long? He went into a couple references. He didn't get specific on why he was there. But how can a person who is in prison for so long, who clearly did something very bad, receive mercy and then receive grace to be used? How does that happen? Because you receive grace and mercy every single time you pray. That's what happens when you pray. Grace, mercy, every time. Number two. What's number two? Protection. There's a verse in the Bible. It says this, Psalms 34, verse 7. It says that the angel of the Lord surrounds those who fear them and delivers them. An angel of the Lord. Many years ago, I think I was 21, 22 years old. I was at a friend's house, and he was wealthy. He was far wealthier than me, which isn't saying much. My wife and I could vacuum our whole house without pulling the plug out of the wall. And so everybody was wealthy to us. But anyway, we were at his house, and he was extremely down. He was emotional. And I made the mistake of saying, are you okay? And I say the mistake because I didn't know how to respond to what he said. He said, I've been working for Enron for 30 years. Now, Enron is one of the biggest companies in our country that is, it's an energy-producing company. Is that what they were? They were so big that the Houston Astros played in the Enron Stadium. And I'm talking to my friend, and he goes, Enron just shut down. They found out that all of their numbers were fabricated. All of their numbers, all their stock numbers, all their income numbers, all their expense numbers, it was all fabricated. So this big, massive international company shuts down. So he goes from making a lot of money, he's been there for 30 years, to no money. Worse than that, all of his retirement was tied up in the stocks of Enron. And so he has no retirement, he's got no income, this massive house, and a girl going into college. He's checkmate. But he was a friend of mine, and I knew he prayed. I lost touch with him. A few years ago, he came into our church, and I saw him, and I was like, oh my goodness, how are you doing? I haven't seen you in forever. And I didn't want to ask, right? I made the first mistake. I didn't know what to say then. I'm certainly not going to know what to say now. So I just said, how you doing? And he goes, you're not going to believe how I'm doing. He goes, I am doing better now financially than I was then, and my retirement is sealed like a Ziploc bag. How does that happen? This is what happens when you pray. He protects you. He puts a wall of fire around you. He leads you. When there's a fork in the road, he leads you. He leads you. He protects you. How many people in this room have been through a divorce, a major separation, or lose your job, and in the moment you thought it was all done? I'm not going to get through this. I'm not going to get through this. Now look at you, girlfriend. You're doing better than now than you did then. And for the husbands, now look at you, dude. My girlfriend, I got to tell you that. My girlfriend's on the front row. I love my wife so much. He protects you. This is what happens when you pray. Not when you think about praying. Not when you walk around saying, I know I should pray. You know what happens when you think about prayer, but you don't pray? Gots. That's what happens. That's Italian for nada, nothing, zilch. You're just like everybody else, scraping and clawing, hoping and wishing. Getting bitter at the same time, angry at people who cannot change anything, but you got to blame someone. Nothing happens. But this is what happens when people pray. You are protected. You receive grace. You receive mercy. This is what happens when you pray.
I hope you're enjoying today's sermon. I'd like to hit pause just for a moment because every Sunday we always pray for people who need a healing in their body. I hope this next testimony encourages you to believe God for miracles in your own life.
Was at the Deer Lease, and I was coming out of our travel trailer, and it had rained that night before. But when I stepped out onto the platform for steps, my feet just went out from underneath me, and I hit down the steps. It happened so quick, I didn't know what took place, to tell you the truth. Well, I was bruised, my leg was bruised, my ribs was bruised, and my shoulder. And the soreness out of my leg went away. My ribs healed up, but my shoulder continued to give me pain. And this went on for like 2 months. Well, this particular service, I start out with morning prayer typically. And as I came here, I knew in my spirit, rather, that I was going to be healed that day, this particular morning. And but I didn't know if Pastor Frankie was just going to call it out and I was going to be healed in my seat or if I was going to be called down front. Well, Pastor Frankie spoke it out, says somebody has a shoulder issue. And so anyway, so I knew it was me. So I immediately went down. And as I went down, he was calling other people to be prayed for other things. I felt a coolness. It wasn't a heat, it was a coolness that went over my shoulder. And immediately I felt the relief go. And Pastor Frankie came down there and I told him the pain had already gone away. And actually that night was the first night that I slept the complete night with no pain, slept great. It's just an awesome experience.
Now let me talk about, I got 4 points, but the third point is my favorite by far. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him." I love that verse. The reason why I love that verse is not only is he knocking, but clearly he's shouting. Because he says, "I stand at the door and knock if anyone hears my voice." Now, I got locked out of my house a couple nights ago. It's a long story. I don't have time to get into it. My whole family was in the house. I'm locked out. It's like 9:15, something like that. I walk up to the door. I start knocking on the door. Nobody comes. I walk up to the back door. I'm looking and I'm like, boom, boom, boom. "Are you gonna open the door?" They're like, oh, look who's here. They come and open the door. I'm like, really? What have I done to deserve this? And then I get to sit down, and now, 5 minutes later, I'm a part of it. I wanted to be in the house. Just so you know, every time he crosses your mind, that is how he knocks on the door. Every time he crosses your mind, you and I are this, we're made from dirt. We're dirt covered by skin. We're dirt bags. We don't have the capacity to desire a God we've never seen. We don't have that capacity. And so God has to come to us. When you think about him, that is him coming to you. And after you think about him, if you shut it down and he just crosses your mind and you go out throughout your day, you're not opening the door. He came to you. He knocked on the door. Now, this is how you open the door. "God, I love you too. I love you too." He came to your mind because he loves you. And you say back, "I love you too." The moment you do that, the door is wide open. Now the conversation, now the relationship is engaged. You don't need to come to the church and hope, call up the worship team and ask everybody to be here on Tuesday at 3:30. No. Right there, at that moment, you go, "I love you too." The door is open. Come on. Once you say, "I love you too," don't be surprised if other sentences don't come flowing out of your mouth. It's like a string in your mouth. You pull it out a little bit and then it's just... I'm sure there's a better illustration than that, but... That's what I got. After you open up the door several times, something fascinating happens. All of a sudden, after a period of time, when he crosses your mind, the closeness of knowing that he's there becomes more and more real. See, initially, you say, "And I love you too." But he's still a distant being. But if you continue to not shut down the thought, you just say, "I love you too." What ends up happening is that all of a sudden the relationship becomes more and more personal and you become, this is the catcher, you become aware of the presence of God around you. It's so amazing when this begins to happen. Because you, as an example, your relationship might unfold and grow in a different way. But just now I looked out the window and I looked at those trees and I'm like, those trees are reaching up towards you. You picked out the color of green of every single one of those trees. I feel wind and I'm like, how did you do that? Because even the smartest person in the world doesn't know how the wind is gonna go. It could come west, it could come east, it can go south. It just, when some of you have hair and it just blows in the wind. For me, I just, for you, it's like, ooh, this is God. And you become more and more aware. At this stage of my life, whenever I am a little bit stressed, which I'm half Italian, half Brazilian, so a little bit happens a lot, so I can close my eyes, and if I just give myself about 10 seconds, I can visualize them to the best of my ability. I can visualize, and I know I'm in his presence. And so long as I keep that moment, everything's okay. Then when I open up my eyes, I feel like I'm 10 feet tall, and I've got muscles on my teeth and lightning in my veins. And it just took 10 seconds to visualize him and become aware of his presence. And what's exciting to me is God is the only person, the only being in the world that once you found him, you continue to look for him. You just want more and you want to get closer. You want more and you want to get closer. Help me out. Encourage me. Last and final point, supernatural power begins to move in your life. There are certain problems that you have. Now, I'm not preaching at you. I can easily say we have, but just give me some margin here. There are certain problems that you have that you're never going to get rid of. They're there forever. I'm not trying to do shock value. I'm making a point. Just wait on me. Sometimes I'm talking with somebody and they tell me a problem and I think to myself, you're going to have that for the rest of your life. I was talking to somebody on the phone and it was like 8 o'clock and the conversation kept going and going. So I pulled off into like a Walmart because I know God's in Walmart. So I pull off into a parking lot and he pulls off in a parking lot. We both pull off in a parking lot to talk to each other. And he's telling me how horrible his marriage is. And I said to him after about 15 minutes, and I've talked to him like 1,700 times about this. And I finally said, let me just name him John. John, this is what I want you to do. I want you to grab the lever on your seat in your car, and I want you to pull it backward and just lay down. Did you do it? He's like, yeah, I did it. And I want you to tell yourself, this is my life, and it's never going to change. And he's like, Pastor? I said, just remember I'm saying that. This is my life, and it's never going to change. Obviously, he didn't like that at all. And the reason why he didn't like it and the reason why you guys don't like hearing it is there's something in your spirit that goes, no, that's not true. It's not true. And you're right. It's not true. So long as you're praying. The Bible says this in Ezekiel 36, 26, it says, not by might nor by strength, not by your intellect, not by your charisma, not by your strategy, not by your money, not by your know-how, not by this, some of you have a really high EQ, you can kind of feel the room, not by your EQ, nothing you have, nothing you bring to the table is going to change it. It says, not by might nor by strength, but by my power, says the Lord. This is what happens when you pray. This is what happens when you pray. Sometimes somebody will want to pray, but they will feel like there's a lock on their jaw and they just can't get it open. So they think about, I should pray. I need to pray. I know he will help me if I pray, but they can't get their mouth open. And you have to ask the question, Why is that? Why is that? I'm going to tell you that all of hell has barbed wire wrapped around your lips. You just can't get it open. Have you ever been in a dream? It's amazing how many people have been in this situation where you're laying in the bed and all of a sudden you wake up and you feel frozen and you feel like there's an evil spirit in your room and you can't move and you're scared. Raise your hand if that's ever happened to you, as high as you can. As high as you can. You're encouraging all of us. As high as you can, elbow straight. Come on, wave it around. Now everybody look around. It's about half the room. And you sit there, and for those of you that haven't raised your hand, you're like, thank God it was y'all and not me. But when you're in that state, you know in your spirit and your mind, if I could just get Jesus out of my mouth, Jesus, and a bang. It's like, are you with me? Did that happen to you? Jesus. This is what happens when you pray. Those of you that can't get your mouth open, just get that name out. Get that name out. Those barbed wires will fall to the ground like puppy fuzz. I'm not even sure what puppy fuzz is, but you got my point. This is what happens when you pray. Do you receive that today? Come on.
Thank you for allowing us to come into your homes today. It's our goal to encourage you and challenge you to believe God for greater things in your life. Right now, we're looking for partners who want to lock arms with us. For your monthly commitment of any amount, we want to send you our exclusive partnership bundle of 3 equipping teachings. We're sure it will help you grow strong in the Lord. We will see you at this time next week.